So we've been talking about this this series that we started. Claudio started off with the series, and it's about you in 5 years, having a plan for your life for the next 5 years. And one of the things that Claudio was talking about last time that he was, the first time that he was up here, he was talking about what you could do in 5 years. You could start a new career in 5 years. You could do a few things in 5 years, like even get yourself a bachelor's degree of something. You could be a plumber. You could be a carpenter in 5 years. There's so many things that you could actually do in 5 years. And it seems like a long time away. Like 2030 seems like a long time away. All right, I want to go over a couple of things. This is funny. I was just looking up this last night. 1930, okay? We're almost 100 years to 2030. It's almost 100 years. Did you know that Pluto was discovered in 1930? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, no, Pluto the comic. Actually, Mickey Mouse came out in 1930 as a comic strip in 1930, believe it or not. That's right. The Great Depression was in full swing in 1930. That was huge. Bonnie and Clyde met for the first time in 1930. Here's a couple of cool things. Buzz Aldrin was born. Our famous astronaut was born in 1930. You know who else was born in 1930? And I had no idea how old this guy was because I grew up watching this guy on TV and watching this guy in the movie theaters. Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood was born in 1930, so that tells you how old he is right now. So that's amazing. So in 100 years, you know, you think about these things, that's a, you know, a relatively short time if you think about it. You know, 1930 to 2030. But we're not talking about trying to set goals for 100 years. We want to set goals that are obtainable. 5 years from now, what are you going to look like in 2030? So the series, again, is to help you to try and set some goals for, you know, the next decade that's coming out. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, even a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Now, that's really great in some aspects and sometimes very scary in another, because we can start walking towards what we think we're supposed to be doing and then realize that, you know, 500 steps later or 500 miles later, oh my goodness, we have to turn around because we made a mistake and we're going in the wrong direction. So it's really important to actually know where we're going in 5 years, where we're taking those steps, why we're taking those steps. And keep on stepping, you know, in the right direction, you'll eventually get there, even if it is 1,000 miles, even if it's 5 miles, even if it's 40 years of stepping forward. The idea is that you're stepping forward. The title of the message today is Too Small to Fail, and we'll get to that towards the end of the message. And part of that reason is too small to fail. It's an idea that you set goals that are so small that there's no way that you could ever fail to accomplish them. Sometimes we have these, Tim talked about last week of how we have these amazing, set your goals, set your dreams big, right? And we want to do that. We want to think the way that God thinks, you know, envision the way that God thinks about things and how he projects stuff, even in our own lives. Sometimes we count ourselves out because of certain things, or we haven't made it far enough, or we're just not that type of person to be able to have God move in our lives. But God has a specific vision for each of our lives. He really does. And Tim was talking about last week about how big we need to set our goals. All right. The problem being is that we set these goals and we don't know how to start them, or we start them and we set expectations for ourselves and we fail right away. So I want to talk a little bit about trying to set those goals in such a small increments that there's no way that we can fail. It's something that we do, taking steps little by little and being able to accomplish that goal. I'm going to jump right into scripture here. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, Jesus in us, as Christians, we've accepted Jesus Christ, and so that means we've already accepted and have completed the law, or not completed the law, but we have the way that Jesus did. He fulfilled the law, but by accepting Jesus, we don't have to worry about the Old Testament law anymore. We don't have to worry about sin and death anymore because we've already accepted Jesus. And this, I want to concentrate more on the very part of the first part of this is his vision. What that actually means is if you don't have vision, you don't have revelation of God or his word. You don't have revelation of what God is doing in your life. You don't have revelation of the word of God in your life that's transforming you, that's bringing you closer to him. We need to have vision in our life. So do we have vision for our lives? Do we have God's vision for our life? I can say for the most part in my life, that's a big no. Never had vision in my life. I never had understanding of who God was in my life. There was a long time I believed in God. I knew who God was, but I never had this relationship with God to be able to start to even know where I was supposed to go, where I was supposed to start. And I want to talk about three specific characters in the Bible that are very well known in the Bible that God had specific visions for their lives to accomplish the things that God wanted to do. So the first one we're going to look at is Abraham. God made some amazing promises to Abraham. You know, when he was 75 years old, he made these promises. And one of those promises was Isaac being born when he was 100 years old. Talk about a grandpa dad. I mean, my goodness. I mean, my next door neighbor had his youngest when he was 50. And he always talks about, and I got that expression from him because he was saying, I'm a grandpa dad. You know, it's just like, and now I kind of totally understand that. But Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old, starting the fulfillment of the promises that God had put in front of Abraham. Abraham's looking up at the stars when he's talking to God, and God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Can you count the stars? Can you even try it? I dare you to try and count the stars because this is how many people, how many numerous of people that you're going to be able to even think about, even in the small corner of the sky that you can see. I'm going to make your generation, your people, as numerous as the stars. That's an amazing promise. That's a crazy promise. That's a God promise. He waited 25 years to see that start. And there was a few things that happened in between that time. Abraham obviously didn't realize, you know, he remembered God. He was the father of our faith, and he was called the father of faith. But he had some upsets in between all that. So it's amazing to be called something that incredible and still have mistakes in your life. Does anybody have mistakes in their life? Anybody perfect in this room? I don't think so. Even Abraham, as great as the name that he was to hold on to in his in the Jewish culture all the way up is, you know, my father is Abraham, my father is Isaac and Jacob. They quote these names because they're the founders of their faith through God. And in Romans 3:22, it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, which basically means it doesn't matter who you are. See, God counted Abraham's faith as righteousness to God. Abraham's faith, he believed in God and counted it righteousness. We have to now, we put on Jesus Christ as our righteousness, but because of Abraham's faith and trusting in God, God counted it righteousness to him, which is absolutely awesome. And this is how salvation works. We trust, we believe, we have faith, and then we work out our salvation. We don't trust, believe, and then sit down and do nothing afterwards. We're working out our salvation. We're accomplishing something. We've received something. Now we're going to be giving something away. The idea of receiving Jesus Christ isn't just to sit back and wait for Jesus to come again. We are receiving him so that we can give to others. And this is what Abraham's promise was. This promise to Abraham wasn't just for Abraham. It was for a multitude of other people. So Abraham kind of sets the example of how we can position ourselves towards God. How we can have conversations with God. God had a vision for Abraham, but it came in stages. It came step by step. It didn't come all at once. The promises got fulfilled one by one, step by step. And even Abraham's offspring, the entire nation, got enslaved for 400 years. But did that stop God's promise? No. Nope. What happened? God raised up Moses. So Moses is a type and pattern in the Bible, as we see, like Jesus is, a coming of Jesus, coming of the Messiah. Moses set his people free, took them out of slavery, and eventually they crossed over Jordan. But they wandered around the desert for 40 years. Let's not mistake that having faith in Jesus is a way to get out of hell. God wants us to partner so that we can shake the hell out of people. Share the good news. Abraham and Moses had a very, very similar walk. It was the relationship with God. Their understanding, their talking. You know, I read the way that Moses spoke to God. He spoke to God as though he was a friend. A friend talks to another friend. He talked face to face. He was right there in the midst and enjoying the presence of God. So we understand when we say we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship means that it's not just a one-way conversation. It means that we're having conversations with God. We're having conversations with Jesus. See, God's vision for Abraham's life transferred into the vision for Moses' life. And God has a vision for your life, no matter how old you are, the circumstances, or your past. God has that promise for you. God has a promise for your life. And it's written in your imagination, if you believe it or not. God puts those desires in your heart. Those desires that you have, that you want to do something for God, he put those in you. He put them in you. Look at Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship. And I want to emphasize the word his, because we are his. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You can't fail. He's already got them set up for you. It's already been done. He has prepared a path and these amazing promises and these things that he has prepared for you to do. What do you have to do? You got to step into it. Step into it. Like, look how when Moses was going to Pharaoh and he's saying, set my people free, how many times did that backfire on him? And the people even turned on Moses. How many times in the desert? You just brought us out here to die. Oh, look at us. You made it worse for us when you tried to set us free. How many times? But God's promises still didn't matter. The promise that he promised Abraham moved over into the promise that he would do something with Moses and help him set his people free. It wasn't even Moses' promise. Moses didn't even want to do it. But God had a plan for Moses' life, and he got to spend time with God. I mean, that would be the ultimate prize for me, I think. If God asked me to do something, if you ask me to do this, I want to be able to spend time with you like Moses did. Like, you can have conversations like that with God. He might not say, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. But you can have conversations. You can have weird conversations with God. It is. You can have the most absurd conversation with God and he won't laugh at you. Well, he might laugh at you in a father-son or father-daughter kind of way and say, child, you have no idea. But I love that you're talking to me. You know, that's what he says. I love that you're talking with me. So as we said, the Israelites were walking around the desert for 40 years. 40 years. Do you remember why they were walking around for 40 years? It's because when they went, you remember there's two guys, they sent out the 12 spies, right? Sent out the 12 spies to go and check the land out, and only two of them said, yeah, we can take out the giants. Check out the food. Check out the stuff that we're bringing back. We can take those giants out, no problem. And the rest of the 10 said, no way. There's no way we can do it. And guess what? All right, I guess you guys don't believe in my word. You don't believe in what I've already done for you. Guess how long it's going to take now before you get to that and walk in that? 40 years. 40 years. That's crazy. But you know what? That's kind of a sad picture of some of us. Some of us are stuck on a promise that hasn't come to pass yet, and we're still walking around in the desert. Some of us are not even sure how to step into those promises, and we're walking around the desert, not sure what's going on. And I think what this whole message about in you in 5 years is to help you get out of the desert to walk in what God is promised, for you to capture and find out what God is going to do in your life if you say yes, if you step in to what God promises for you, the promises that God has for you. You know, it's funny side note, the average, I was looking this up, the average amount of distance that the Israelites in the 40 years took was about 3 miles a day. They didn't walk every day, but on average, they took about, it was about 3 miles a day. That adds up to about 36,000 miles over 40 years. Okay, to put that in perspective, the circumference of the earth is 25,000. So the Israelites walked around the world, could have walked around the world at least once. Like in the amount of time that they're out there. Isn't that insane? Like, I'm going to go on vacation for, you know, 40 years and I'm going to go walk around the world. No, I don't think Mark would let me off that long. Oh my goodness. And getting back to that, a promise from God isn't always about you. Maybe you're the catalyst for somebody else's promise. Maybe you're the one that's obedient to what God has asked you to do to set somebody else up so that they can move forward in God's plan. See, a lot of the times we go, God, yeah, this would be great if I could have this, and God, I need this, and I need that, and I want that. And sometimes God is saying, well, I need you to do this for me because I have a plan for somebody else, and I just need you to be obedient in this one area. You know, there was... I didn't trust God for a long, long time. And I still have trust areas and trust issues with God in my life. It's not perfect. But a while back, and I won't tell you all the circumstances in this entire thing, but I was up to my eyeballs in debt. And I can't tell you the exact number, but it was between $45,000 and $50,000 in credit card debt. It was like three different credit cards, and they were racked right up. And I was barely making enough money to pay rent, put food. Like, I was probably going into my overdraft anywhere between $20 to $100 a month, depending on, you know, the type of month. Sometimes you get paid January, I was getting paid three times this month. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, you get a couple of times that. So, but in this particular state, it was just like putting food on the table, putting gas in the car, paying rent, you know, things like that. It was a struggle. You looked up in the dictionary, living paycheck to paycheck. My picture was there. And that's what it was. And I was living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, and I could not keep going. And this was going on for a good 4 or 5 years with not being able to pay down this debt because all I could do was pay the minimum payments. And you know how that ever turns out. Pay the minimum payments. It's not going to go any further. The debt just stays there. And so a friend challenged me. He goes, you know what? I want you to challenge. I said, I want you to challenge God. And he goes, what? And I went, what? I said, what do you mean? You want to challenge me to challenge God? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, in Malachi, it says to test God. And it's the only verse in the entire Bible that says to test God in this. And it's talking about giving God your firsts, giving God your first fruits, giving to God first before anything else. And I thought about it. I'm going, I just don't know. And he kept pushing me. He said, you got to try it. Try it out. He gave me some testimonies and things like that. So make a long story short, I decided, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I don't trust you, but I'm going to trust what your word says. And I need to really believe that this is going to happen because, you know, God, if I can't pay a bill or if I can't, you know, put gas in my car, I'm going to stop doing this. So what I did was I got paid and I took 10% of my paycheck, and I sowed it. I put it into the church, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. Here's the 10%. I don't know where it's going. I just know that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what the Bible says. I'm going to give my 10%. By the end of that month, I broke even. And I went, this isn't right. Like, I paid my overdraft. I paid my bills. I paid my minimum payments. I paid my rent. What's going on? So I said, okay, I'm going to try this one more time. That was just it was a fluke. It was total fluke. So I tried it one more time. And so the next month, I actually had money left over. And I'm going, this is not normal. I'm like, I'm not making any more money. I've paid all the bills. I actually now have an extra $20 or $30 that I can put towards something. And I can treat myself to a burger or something. And I'm going, this is incredible. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it again the next month. And I did, and I started accumulating, and then eventually within 3 to 4 months, I still had money left over. I get a raise at work, and then I get a new job, and then things start accelerating, and I'm like, I'm going to pay off this debt. I'm going to pay off. This is incredible. This isn't normal. And it just circumstance after circumstance, God was honoring what I was doing in sowing in to what he wanted me to do. And it was a promise that got fulfilled. And I tell you, within 3 to 4 years, I paid off that debt completely. And it was an absolute miracle because I didn't even make that much money in a year. So it was God's provisioning, just following a simple step and a promise. I tell you right now, if there's a promise in the Bible that's for somebody that you read about, that promise is for you as well. Why wasn't Moses allowed into the promised land? He was disobedient. See, God told him to speak to the rock, and what did he do? He got frustrated and whacked the rock, and then the water came out. I believe at that moment in that time, God was trying to teach Moses something different. Because if you read through all of the times when Moses was using his staff, it was Aaron or him, it was using the staff, using the toy, using the rod that God gave him, or they picked up, it turned into snakes, it turned the Nile to blood, he held his hands up, you know, or kept his staff up. But in this particular instance, God said to speak to the rock, and Moses hit the rock. And I believe that, and this is my own study, I believe that God was trying to teach Moses something different, and how you don't have to use the same thing and do the same thing every single time. Just be obedient to my word. Because Moses could have spoke to the rock and realized that there was something different, something had changed. He wasn't just using his little thing that he was holding on to all the time. We don't know what the circumstance was or the relationship that Moses had with his staff and the way that he used it in the way that God was obedient, but God was trying to show him something different. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent. You see, even when Moses was disobedient, God's promise continued on. Don't be the person that says no, that God passes the promise on so he can fulfill what he needs to get done. Say yes to God. Say yes to God. Joshua got raised up, and he brought them across the Jordan River to fill the promise. See, crossing the Jordan River is kind of a prophetic picture of crossing into your calling, crossing into the things of God that he's called for you to do, taking that step and crossing over into the promised land. See, God, it's very interesting with the Israelites. He had a promise right from the beginning, from Abraham all the way through to Joshua, until they stepped into the promised land. And it was still the big picture. But all the way through the journey were little promises being fulfilled step by step, until the big picture was filled. So we have this opportunity to journey with God. So when we have a big picture of something or a goal or something like that we have in our life, don't take a look at just the goal, but enjoy the process in getting towards the goal. As long as your focus is straight on Jesus and that's what you want to do and towards that goal and your focus is towards him, it doesn't matter if you think that you're going in the wrong direction. If you're doing it for him, he will slowly take you back. Because if you're doing it for him, you can't fail. There's no way that you can fail. If you do it for yourself, it only ends with yourself. But if you do it for him, it always ends with him. Sometimes there is a process in God's promises. Now God's talking to Joshua here, and we're going to go through the bigger part of the scripture. And he's kind of giving them a talk as to what to expect once you've crossed in, or once you've crossed over the Jordan. It's in Deuteronomy 7, and we're going to read 17 to 22, and I'm skipping verses 20 and 21 just for the condensing it here, just to get the understanding of it. But we're going to start here because this is going to give us an understanding of what was going on and what God was promising as they were going to step over into Jordan. And so God knows their heart. Right off the start, he already knows what their heart is going to be. They're already in fear of things. He knows us. He knows us really well. He understands our faith. He understands our fears. Okay, and this is what he's doing with the Israelites before they step over. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do all to the peoples of whom you are afraid. And this is what God's doing right here. He's showing them, helping them remember what God did in the past, a promise before, and he's saying that, hey, this is what I'm going to do going forward. Verse 22 says, the Lord God will clear away the nations before you little by little. You may not make an end to them all at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. This is very interesting. If you think about this, he knows that God knows that if they take the land right away, they're going to have to deal with a whole bunch of other things all at once. So he's going to let the nations that are already there deal with the stuff so that they can get in and claim the land. They had to work towards it. The land was bigger than they could maintain, and that's a really good lesson. Sometimes God was setting us up to maintain something that we can hold on to. Before they could obtain it, they had to maintain it. And that's sometimes a good picture in our lives. He's setting us up to be able to hold the thing that he's promised us. It takes effort to seek out the kingdom of God and to seek out the promises of God. Remember what Tim said last week? He said, I want to change, but only if it's not hard. And that's true, right? We always go for the easy thing. We always go for the easy thing. But sometimes trust isn't easy. Sometimes trust means we're going to have to do something. There's going to be an effort that we're going to see and move forward in. God knows how much we can take all at once. So 5 years from now, what are you going to look like? It's up to you. Are you going to look different from between now and 5 years and 2030? 2030 seems like a long time away, but it's not. Nope. That's what the heart of this series is. The heart of this series that we're doing is trying to help all of us, myself, everybody, even Doug, to be transformed into somebody different that we were before. It's a step-by-step journey with Jesus. It always is. It's being transformed into him. I didn't put this up on the slide. I didn't add this. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, being transformed into his image, going from glory to glory. It's assumed by us when we receive Jesus that we are moving forward with him from one thing to the next. One thing to the next. We're moving forward. We're a good tree. We're producing fruit. It's implied that we're to be producing fruit. Tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to produce that fruit. It's a process of change, letting Jesus transform you so that you can receive more and give more. God's vision for your life is bigger than you. It's about God in you. It's about how God can move in your life if you say yes. It's easy to do the same things, stay the same, do the same things, not really do much in life. That's just spiritual laziness. We don't just, like I said, get saved and wait around till Jesus comes back. It takes zero faith. It doesn't produce fruit. We need to take action. Do you know, very, very, very incredible smart man. Sorry, Wade, this is not about you, but... said this, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Albert Einstein quoted that. I want to look at this verse one more time. Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God wants you to position yourself to receive his vision and promises in your life. Step by step, little by little. How you can receive them, how you can do them. He knows you. He knows you really well. Too small to fail, and this is the last part of the sermon here, is setting some spiritual goals. An example, I'm going to give you some examples of how to grow in God here. These aren't things that you have to follow, but these are some examples that I thought of that we could do step by step. I bought this little planner at the dollar store, okay? Cost me like nothing. And now I'm used to setting goals and I'm used to setting plans, but this one this year I wanted to be purposeful and I wanted to have something that I could just chicken scratch on and write my day-to-day goals on here and see them so I could physically see them. And I journal all the time, and I journal every month. I journal on things, you know, things that God did. I journal about the weather. I journal about, hey, I was preaching today at City Light. You know, I journal about these things. I look back a year ago and see how things have changed, what I prayed for, what I've been asking God for to change in my life. And if you want to see change, if you want to be able to see change in your life, you need to track it. You need to put it down so that you're purposefully doing something in order to see that change happen. So there's rules to this, okay? There's rules to setting these goals for 5 years from now to be changed. Number one, the first rule is to make the goals too small. For instance, one of the examples that we're doing through the series as an example is, okay, well, I want to do, you know, 50 push-ups by the end of the year. I want to be able to do 50 push-ups, right? So the goal that I'm going to set is to do one push-up a day. I can't fail at doing one push-up. But while you're down there, oh, maybe I can do 3, maybe I can do 5. But you set the goal so small that you're able to do it. And if you get a couple extra in, that's great. Okay? Second rule is don't let 2 days go by without doing it. If you let 2 days go by, it's going to fall off. You're going to fall right off the rails and it's just not going to happen. All right? That's why a lot of people for their New Year's resolution stop. Was it after a week? People after about a week because they set these goals way too high for them and they stop right after. The third rule is tracking your progress or tracking what it is that you want to do each day. What is your goal? Set your goal for 5 years from now, but you need to track what you're doing to maintain that particular thing each time, okay? So first one here, as a spiritual discipline, if you want to call it that, but to be purposefully being transformed so that you look different in 5 years. Read your Bible every day. One verse. One verse. Set your goal to one verse a day. Super easy. We've got this Bible app called YouVision. And you can open it up. And it's already got the verse right there in front of you. And you can read it right there. You can do one verse a day. But while you're in there, you might run and read two verses. You might read a whole chapter. But set the goal so small that there's no chance of you ever failing. But set the goal. Okay, second one, pray every day. 1 minute prayer. Do a minute prayer a day. Close the door, turn the lights out, whatever you want to do. Keep yourself from distracted, turn your phone off, whatever that looks like. But take 1 minute of purposeful prayer towards God and asking him, you know, Lord, what is your plan for me today? What is your plan for me today to walk with you, that you're doing something in my life? Help me to be obedient to your word, your calling, whatever that looks like. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to praise your name. Whatever it looks like for you to take 1 minute out of your day to pray, and while you're doing that 1 minute, it might turn into 5 minutes the next day. It might turn into 15 minutes the day after that. But set your goal to so small, there's no way that you're ever going to fail it. Okay, so third one, praise or worship God. One song a week, purposely positioning your heart to take time out to listen to your favorite worship song. Close the doors, turn off your phone, the TV, whatever, and take time just to worship God for one song a week. Set a day, like Wednesday, Worship Wednesday, call it. And you set it from Worship Wednesday, and that's the time. Set a time frame, 6 o'clock, whatever works for you. 6 in the morning, 6 at night, whatever that looks like. But set time to worship God for one song, okay? Number four, physically praying for somebody outside of the church. All right, maybe once a week. Maybe your goal is once a week. Maybe it's once a month, okay? But set a goal that you want to do and step out into something a little bit harder to activate your faith and start to move in things that God wants you to move in. Maybe it's just saying hi to a stranger and talking to a stranger, walking their dog. Julie and I walk our dogs, and we get to talk to so many people walking dogs, you know? It doesn't take much to go, hey, and what's your name? And, and just talk to them, talking about their dog. Hey, can we pray for you? We'd love to pray for you. You seem like a really awesome person. Can we pray for you? And then sometimes it feels really awkward or weird, I think, but sometimes people will go, yeah, I really need prayer right now because my son's going through this, this, and this. I don't know where to turn. You never know what people are carrying until you are carrying until you actually care. Okay? And the last one here is practicing a kingdom mindset. This is harder than it sounds. Practicing a kingdom mindset, this is how I see it as. If what you do, say, or think is not transforming into Jesus, then stop it. If what you do, say, or think is not transforming you into Jesus, just stop it. So if you can't see Jesus saying it, if you can't see Jesus thinking it, then don't do it. And be mindful, you write it down and say, is there anything that I said or did today that shouldn't have been done? Now, this is a little bit, I don't want you to get into condemnation over this, okay? This is a learning process. Oh, I wasn't like Jesus today. Well, you know what? 99% of us aren't like Jesus today, but we're working towards being like him, right? Okay. So what the whole thing here today is, I really want us to focus on just doing small steps into being transformed like Jesus. Can I get you to stand? We're going to pray. This is kind of my thing. I'm sorry, you don't have to stand if you can't stand or don't want to stand. But my thing is, I like to stand just to put myself in a receiving position in the Lord, just to say that I'm purposely doing something right now to acknowledge the fact that I'm standing for God to receive something. So God has promises for your life, just as he had for Abraham, Moses, Joshua, the entire group of Israelites. Say yes to taking that first step into that 5-year. Say yes to taking that step into that 1,000-mile journey, that first step. If you say yes, your life will look totally different in 5 years.